Chris Lorton here, WJBM Studios, and welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. And with me today, honoring the veterans of the month, I have with me Bill Martin and his daughter, Kathy Newingham. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bill, the oldest living veteran, World War II vet, in Greene County. You might be one of the oldest, maybe. I mean, there can't be that many World War II vets around, is there? And you just turned 100 in July, right? Yeah.
Yes, I did.
100 years old. Did you have a party?
I had a big party, yeah.
So,
as far as I know, there's 159 people that signed the list, and some walked out that didn't sign it. And 179 birthday cards.
Oh, that's great. That is great, Bill. So, Bill, you grew up in Greene County.
Grew up in Greene County.
Yes. And you lived during the Depression.
Lived during the Depression. I was born on a farm. Back in that time, we didn't go to hospitals. You know, I was born on a farm. And I lived there 6 years. And during the Depression, I saw a little sister cry for something to eat. We moved to town and see if my dad could find some kind of work. And from then on, it was tough and go until he kind of got a job and we could go.
Where'd he get a job at?
Well, he worked as a farmer.
Oh, he worked as a farmer.
Yeah, okay. As a farmer. And, he lost his farm during the Depression.
So oh, I
worked
see.
Worked as a farmer. And as I started school, I went to school. First 8 years, I didn't miss a day.
Is that right?
Every day of school. And I played football, basketball, or on the track team. And I graduated July the 3rd, or June the 3rd. And I enlisted Marine Corps June the 5th. I went to Chicago.
Hey, now I understand, before we get going too fast, that you were a pretty good athlete in high school.
Well, they told me I was. I was supposed to be
What do you say, Kathy?
Can
you?
Well, what I've heard, he was, yes.
Yeah. And so
I'm supposed to be the main cog of the football team. I don't know. There's 10 other guys out there.
Well, I'm sure there was. Now, if you think back to that time, you were 17 years old. I guess you were excited about going in and enlisting as a Marine.
I volunteered to go.
Yeah. Did any of your buddies go in as well?
Well, I had a buddy to go with me, but we had got to Springfield, and we had to come back home, get our parents' permission.
Oh, you did?
We were too young. We were 17.
So how'd that go? Did you?
My mother signed.
Yes, she did.
The boy's father and mother wouldn't sign. So he said they'd sign for the Navy, but they wouldn't for the Marine Corps because they were too tough. But anyway, I would be that. So we got board train and went to Chicago. And we had other guys in Springfield that come together to get a group to go to Chicago. And we was all country boys, ignorant. And we got in Union Station. One of the boys said, "Boy, this thing hold our bail hay, wouldn't it?" Well, it would. I said, "Well, you don't have to publicize we're dumb, you know." Then they took us to a hotel and put us on third floor. And that L train is hooked on the end of that thing. And about the time you get ready to go to sleep, he comes flying by there.
Oh, boy.
And wake me up. And we lived through the night. So we was getting ready to go on board train attached to the West Coast. Took us to Wimpy's Hamburger Shack.
Wimpy's Hamburger Shack. Okay.
And they gave us bad hamburger. So we got to Kansas City. We had to take that car out, change it to another. It was a mess. Because there's only a restroom on each end, and 63 guys in there sick.
Oh, shoot.
So we went up, and then we got to San Diego, and old boy, stomach sticking out. That wasn't the best picture of Marine I ever seen, but he started cussing and fussing. Told us how bad we were and how bad we looked and what job he's going to have making Marines out of us. So we went to St. Matthew's to the boot camp.
Yeah, and you got through boot camp. How long did that last? in boot
well,
camp?
Well, ours lasted a little longer because we was quarantined for 6 weeks.
Okay.
Three guys got spinal meningitis, and one of them died, but we had to stay. So
really?
Otherwise, we had 6 weeks over the 16 basic training. So.
And then on
then
to.
Then we went boarders, went to trucks, went to San Francisco, got aboard the city of Paris. As a troop luxury liner, we made a troop transport out because it could outrun a sub surfaced. So we got about halfway across, and the colonel broke the law, the rules, and said, our mission is to go behind the Japanese lines on Tulagi, reinforce the 1st Marine Division. And one boy started to jump overboard, and old sergeant caught him. But anyway, we went on. Well, they fought their way clear, so they brought us back into Hawaii.
Okay.
And then they scattered us all over the island. You know, we were able to then the transit say 30 minutes. We went all in one group. So we went to Naval Air Base down in Oahu. And it was guard duty then. Very important installations.
You were guarding very important installations? Yeah. Like
the first one I was on was 3 million gallons of 100-octane gasoline for the planes.
How many guards would be guarding this?
Two. One going one way, one going the other.
I see.
And the Marines, if you blew the whistle and yelled hard, you didn't fire a warning shot. If you draw your weapon, you shoot to kill. You don't. There's no warning. You know, in the Marines, so that's what it was. So they took me from there to guard the end of the runway, a 1 foot, one gun, entrance to the Canadian Naval Air Station where they brought in the ships, and there you could go see submarines coming in or seeing some going out. So we watched that 1.1 gun watch. After that, they was building a new transmitter over across where the volcano had blown out. It's just like a horseshoe. Built it right up against the buffer. And there's five wires going across it, 6,500 feet. And you could take a fluorescent light bulb, hold up there, and it'll light.
Whoa.
Take a 100-watt bulb, go out there 50 yards, stick in the ground, and it'll light.
Whoa.
And the doctor said, did you use these boys' aprons? No, didn't think about that. So you probably sterilized a whole bunch. But fortunately, I come out okay because I was the father of three youngsters.
Yeah.
So from there, I went to another where this garden was up, and there's guys on the inside, and they had guard out here and going each way.
Yeah.
And this was really the most active one. And that switch out there had a light, a post there had a light on it. And you turn a light going inside. That guy come out and shut the door, come out and then shut another door. So no longer he'd have a Tommy gun.
Mm, I see.
So come in, these two guys come over. And I think down the sand dune was behind. And I could just see them waist up.
Yeah.
And they came down and they wanted in. I said, you have a pass? Said, no. Said, we're officers. We're entitled. Not without a pass. Well, you don't understand. We're officers. And we're coming in. I dropped, took my rifle, flipped over the shoulder, cocked it, drove it in, dropped to a knee where I had half of above. I said, I don't care if you're abnormal. You're not coming in without a pass.
You're following orders, right?
Right.
Yes. Hey, so, tell me about that.
So the next day,
no, that's right.
I got a call in the captain's office. I thought, oh, I'm going to answer this, and they commended me.
They did. Good.
Because these were checking the safety of the various operations.
They were checking you out. I
so
see.
I got
so you passed.
I got fast.
Right. Tell me a little bit about the story. You were sleeping one night and you got woke up.
Oh, the lizard?
Yeah.
Not the lizard. Scorpion. Right?
Yeah.
One night I was asleep and I was, felt something on my arm and I slapped it on my shoulder and caught it. Tail flipped back and forth across, but bit me on the chin and I threw it down and cut it in two and took it over. The native says, "You're going to die." And I took it to see Dr. Davis. And Dr. Davis said, "Well, if that thing had got his tail over you, that'd fall on your chin. Somebody else would have brought you here."
You were
said that thing about 20, 30 minutes, and that scorpion juice means business.
Yes.
And it was a scorpion. I don't see a scorpion like so.
Yeah.
I never seen one as long as a cigarette carton.
I'll be darned. He's a foot long. He's a big scorpion.
So and, I lived through that deal.
Yeah. Did you kind of, now, I know you're a diehard Southern Baptist.
Right.
Right? And you've never drank a drop in your whole life.
Never drank a drop in my life.
And God has always been looking after you, hasn't he?
He's just taking care of me.
Yeah. And so that was one spot where he was taking care of you.
Yeah.
Did you have any other close calls? Because you made it back. You know, there was like 85. Let's see. Hold on, what I have here. There was 75 to 85 million casualties in World War II. You know, and so you made it back, and you're 100 years old. That's pretty good. That's a nice track record.
You've seen. The reason I don't talk about it, you've seen your buddies fall.
Yeah.
You'll like remember that. That's like family.
Right.
And so you don't like to bring that up.
No.
But we had good times.
Did you lose a lot of buddies? Did you lose a lot of buddies?
Oh, I don't know how many of our buds we lost altogether. We were 650 strong.
Yeah.
Special weapons of everything. If they got in trouble, they call us. We'd go in and pick them up, and they'd pull us out.
I see. You were the backups.
We was backup. Clean mop-up squad.
Mop-up squad. I see. Yeah.
So that way, we were all special. And that's where they kept us for within 30 minutes of the transit center.
I see.
So they could call us in. And that way, they had handle on us, you know.
How about that? We were talking before he came on the air about Mercy. You were telling me a story.
Well, one time Sergeant Futhy was in charge of the guard, and we were visiting. He was a good friend, even though I wasn't having any stripes on my sleeve, you know. He said, "Let's go down and see Darryl Palmer." Darryl Palmer was a rig warden. But we knew him as the tackle of the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
He was a giant of a man. And the phone rang while we were sitting there, and he said, "Sergeant, can I borrow your man?" Said, "We just got a guy over to get being checked at the dispensary, see how much work he can do." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Sergeant said, see you don't have your 45. Go to the Army there. It's just about a block away. Draw one, go over and get it." I said, "Okay."
To the Armory. So you had to go to the Armory and get a 45?
I went and got a weapon.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I'd get, but I got a 45. Web belt, Holt, whole 9 yards. Everything Uncle Sam's.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't sign for it.
Okay.
That was a mistake on their part. Not my part, but their part. But I went across... And I backed up against the wall. I saw Dr. Davis examining this dude, big sailor.
Yeah.
And when I was standing there, this gentleman walked in. He weighed an ounce. He weighed 250 pounds. He had an 8-year-old girl in his arm, and blood run down her leg. That sucker had raped her.
Had raped her.
And I just went bananas right then. And Dr. Davis came out after he got through and said, "Mackey's yours, and the SOB's not fit to live." He used the words. I'd use the initials. But anyway, I said, "Two steps." stop. Got the door, and I pulled that 45 out, drawed it back, let it slam hole, and I pulled it down and let it out. I said, 300 yards is a brig. If I think in my mind you're looking right or left, I'm going to blow your head off.
And you were going to let him walk to the brig?
I was going to let him walk to the brig.
And if he took anything, you were going
to... I thought he was looking either way. I said, nobody blame me.
No.
I say, you soldiers tried to escape.
Yep.
I got over there. Halfway across, I got thinking, Bill, you can't do that. He's one of ours. He's dumb, but he's one of ours. So I put the 45 in the holster and went on back to over the brig and turned him over to Darryl and said, he's yours.
Well,
if you got some hard work, let him have it.
Yep. Well, that was a good thing, probably. Yeah. And then you had another, well, if you're joining us, or I've got Bill Martin with me, World War II vet, 100 years old, and we're going over a few things in his life. One other story I'd like you to share about mercy, about just missing.
Well, we got called, we'd been over there 31 and a half months.
31 and a half months over in the South Pacific.
And we were eligible to come home.
Yeah.
And so they called in there, and Captain Grace said, these men are eligible to come home. Said, the orders are being translated 0800 in the morning. I suggest you be there.
So you're going to get you weren't going to go home. They're going to transfer you.
That's what we thought, you know.
Uh-huh.
30 minutes away from Francis Center. So we had 30 minutes leeway there.
Right.
At 8:25, Sergeant Moore drove in with 8-5, and 15 guys jumped out, and we threw our bags in there. 5 minutes. If he'd got there at 8:30, we'd have been aboard that truck going to the Transit Center to go to Iwo Jima.
So you missed Iwo Jima?
Missed it for 5 minutes.
And then they got to come home?
Then we went to boarded the city of Paris. I was going to call it what I usually call it, but a limey vessel, an English vessel, had a wood deck.
Yeah.
Had barnacles on it 2 foot thick. Hadn't been dry docked 24 years. Had Indian deckhands.
Indian deckhands.
Huh. And when that old boy clapped his hands 5 o'clock in the morning, he be on board because he'd wash you over the board.
Huh. I see.
So we, four of us, had a place that was about 15 foot right against the rail. We never did ever go below deck. It was very stinky.
Ah, I see.
We got the tail end of the typhoon that tried to capsize three destroyers in the Philippine harbor, and those waves would go over that captain's cabin, there 6 feet in the air. It'd pitch up there and come down. Wouldn't think it'd ever turn, but it did. It made it.
I'll be darned.
And about a day and a half out of San Francisco, one of them bird dog marines smelled something, went down the hole and was on fire.
I'll be darned.
So we weathered the storm. Well, they put that out, and we went on in.
I see.
And we landed. So if you had anything that belonged to Uncle Sam, you better get rid of it because they're checking you. Well, I still had the 44. And the guy had made me a knife. As far as you could throw it, if you hit what you're throwing at, it'd stick.
Yeah?
Perfect balance. Oh, man. I walked back to the Pantail and looked at it, and I looked at the Pacific and swung it over my shoulder about 4 times and cut her loose.
You did.
They don't know I've landed yet. Didn't check anything.
Oh, be darned.
One of the boys that came home with was a sailor that had the Enterprise shot out from under him and now an aircraft carrier. And he's coming home. He stepped off the curb and cab hit him and killed him.
I'll be darned. Isn't that something?
And so then I come home, land in Louisville, Kentucky. Stayed there 9 and a half years. worked for Standard Oil Company for a while. Good Lord called me to preach. And I was too dumb to go to seminary. So, they don't have to have smart people up where we come from. So we moved back home.
Back to Whitehall. And you've been preaching?
And I've preached 128 revivals, led the singing of four, and pastored eight churches.
Well,
worked all the time. Because I had a deal with the Lord. You keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. So I had to work to take care of the family.
How many kids did you have?
I had three.
Three kids.
I had a boy, a girl, and a boy.
I'll be darned. Well, question for you is, you've lived 100 years old. Yeah. You're 100 years old and spry and doing good. What's the key? What's the trick to living so long?
Well, people ask me, so what's your secret? I said, my hand's in the good Lord. He'll keep me here as long as he wants me and needs me. And when I'm done, he's done with me, he'll call me home. I didn't do anything on my own. I tried to help him.
Yeah.
And like I told you, I've never taken a drink in my life, no kind of drugs. And I never got a tattoo.
Never got a tattoo?
Never had it. My body's too pretty to tattoo all up. You know, that's kind of vain, but anyway, never had one. And the church I got to had 43 resident members, and none of them come. I was at church 16 and a half years, and none of them come to church. I sent them five personal letters and hung out doorknob hangers, you know, and they didn't come. So I got down to people and said, we just can't afford the church team, so we're going to close it down. And I preached the last sermon. I was 9 years old.
I'll be darned, 9 years old.
And I preached, my birthday I preached at the church from that now. I preached then.
Well, Bill, thanks so much for coming in today. Appreciate it. And thanks for all you've done for everybody. You've done been a great example. So
I appreciate it.
And Kathy, thanks for bringing Bill in today. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I appreciate
you. Take care.
The invitation, and I'm sorry I can't go through some of it you'd like to have, but nonetheless, I hope you got enough to kind of let people see what kind of a dude I am.
Yes, thanks.